Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
And I know you're going to love this, Chris.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Every single person that I see tweeting about Lamar and how dare he not get any offers and how dare people say, you know, that they're out. First of all,
live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Why won't you go for Lamar Jackson? He's so damn good. I mean, to me, he's worth the two firsts.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, NFL Network analyst Maurice Jones-Drew. Coming up from Netflix's Luther the Fallen Son, actor Andy Serkis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The Friday before we find out the brackets. The Friday before we find out what happens in NFL free agency. It is March and it is lit, and the hell going on is going to break out next week, and it's going to be awesome. Maurice Jones-Drew, my colleague from the NFL Network, who I'm going to be doing the free agency frenzy show with next Monday. He stopped by. What a great conversation we had just chopping it up with him. Mike Florio in hour number one giving us a preview of what's going to happen next week. If you missed any of that, guess what? Right here on the Roku channel, stay tuned to Roku channel 210. We re-air right away. If you missed it on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM or Odyssey, there's our podcast. You can listen to us every single day on demand for 3 hours every single day through the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts are acquired. We know earlier on in this program, Chris Brockman mentioned that there is a lock on the door of Cage Brockman's room up from the outside in. The lock is unlocked because your son is here.
He's here.
He's actually strolling around the studio space right now, buddy. Like he's Bruce Dickinson from that SNL skit. He's exploring the Bruce Dickinson. He's exploring the studio space. And there he is right there with Chris Brockman. Take your son to work day. There he is. Do you want to go over your Jim Boeheim rant with him on your lap right now again, or you want to?
No, okay.
We're good. Okay. Very good, Cage. Ladies and gentlemen. There goes Cage Brockman, everybody. So he's here in hour number three. Guess what? Andy Serkis is here as well. Planet of the Apes, Lord of the Rings. We also will be talking some great times with him. From his time with on Luther on Netflix, which is out now today, as a matter of fact. The great Idris Elba playing Luther is back. A great show. Andy Serkis, also in Black Panther, will go down a nice pop culture wormhole with one of the most famous people on planet Earth.
Man's versatile, man.
Honestly, truly is. And he is not a good person in Luther. He is uncool, to say the least.
Really? Yes, I got to absolutely check this new one out.
So we've got a lot going on here on this program. Your son is loose on this show. What's up, bud? There goes Sarah Tiana. Oh, my gosh. We should have a lock on the green room door. What the hell is going... Hell going on?
Wow.
All good.
That's amazing.
You know what's kind of crazy, too? Look, we will never on this program, ever.
Not let a kid on?
No, right, please stop it. It's a kid-friendly spot.
Yeah, all the kids come.
No, we will never criticize someone for giving us a soundbite.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to be one of those people criticizing someone to give us a soundbite. Should Fred Van Vliet lit up the refs after his game the other day? I don't think so. It cost him $30,000. He's gotten his money's worth, I guess. It made him feel better. But you know, we'll talk about it, but I'm never going to say, what the hell is this guy saying? Unless, of course, it's beyond the pale in terms of propriety.
Toilets!
There's that. Like, for instance, I on the flip side, you know, it may give us a drop and we may have our fun at the expense of somebody who can take the blow because the blow is feathered by the nest of $10 billion that he made in the last 5 minutes.
That helps.
But
Brockman said he actually lost money this week, right?
Oh, is that right? on. You didn't bet on the Grizz and the Warriors, did you?
No, he said Ballmer lost money.
Oh, Ballmer lost money. I got it. All right. Well, anyway, the Memphis Grizzlies, as I mentioned to you, coming off of the NBA All-Star break, is my favorite team in the NFL and in the NBA because they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. I've adopted them because they talk, and they really don't have a leg to stand on talking. Because they don't have any championships, and their best player has completely, I will say this, completely let his team down.
That's
fair. Completely let his team down. He is not available. Your best ability in sports is availability.
True.
And Ja Morant is not available because for whatever reason, he hasn't hired his own private security. He's got to carry his own weapon around on the road. 5 a.m. and he's Instagramming, living it out. And he's not there. That said, in this day and age where everybody is like, hey, I'll go play with you. In this day and age where it's like, hey, let's swap jerseys after you kick my ass for 30 points. You know, hey, let's go have an all-star game where, you know, we don't really try because we love each other. Kind of dig the Memphis Grizzlies. Talking the talk, and I just hope for their sake they can walk the walk when it comes down to it. And this week, Draymond Green went on his podcast and lit up Dylan Brooks again. Because Dylan's the one who's, would you say, the chestiest of them all in Memphis?
That's a good assessment.
Okay.
Yeah, he says it with his chest.
He says it with his chest. And then Shannon Sharp says it with his cardigan.
Yes.
That's the player who was involved in that moment. And so, boy, did Draymond light up Dylan Brooks for talking without a ring. And so last night, the Memphis Grizzlies, without Morant, took care of business against Golden State. And after the game in which he also went, you know, face-to-face with Draymond and tried to get Draymond teed up. Draymond didn't take that bait. This is what Brooks had to say after the game, and of course he was asked about Draymond.
What was the message that you had to Draymond?
That's what I do. I talk, and, you know, I told him that, you know, keep that mic. He's better at the mic than pooping, you know what I'm saying? So keep doing this podcast, keep blogging, keep doing this thing off the court. No, it's cute. It's fun for him.
It's cute.
and here's where Brooks has a leg to stand on. His leg to stand on is, hey Draymond, yeah, you got all those rings, but in this here and now, early March, you're a blogger. You're a podcaster, because guess what? The Warriors aren't doing right now. Certainly on the road. Winning and playing defense at all.
Yep.
You want to talk about a stunning fall on the defensive side of the ball. And I know they have injuries all season long, and I am not discounting the Warriors. As you know, I chose them to win it back to back.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not Monty Python, not dead yet. So, but here's a kid calling out Draymond Green for being a podcaster, because the way that they're playing defense and the way that they're not winning on the road, Draymond reminds me of many of our representatives in Congress who seem to be spending time podcasting more than actually legislating and being serious about things. Because he's going on his pod, and which is very popular for good reason, because Draymond is going to be a heck of a broadcaster when he decides to no longer play and presumably go into the Hall of Fame, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So how does Draymond respond? This was him on the podium after the game.
Draymond, obviously, called a rivalry now, has obviously been heated on both.
It's not called a rivalry.
What's that now?
This a rivalry?
You want to call it that or no?
If you want to call it that, but I disagree.
All right, well, whatever you want to call it, I guess.
It's a basketball game.
No worries.
Why don't you consider this a rivalry?
Because you have to, one team has to win,
and then another team has to win. Then, like, that's what creates a rivalry. Not because one team gets up for you and talk like they can beat you and then not. That doesn't create a rivalry. Rivalries are created by you win, I win. And clearly, we won four times, and I think their organization has zero championships, so I can't consider that a rivalry.
So when you say win, you ain't talking about in March. You're talking about
Anybody can win in March. Anybody can win in March. What that mean? I have a hard time getting out of my bed in March. What's the game in March mean?
That's pretty funny.
Great sound bites. Just great. And I have to, since we are in this world of sports talk, I have to side with Draymond.
Wait a minute, Rich, you're going to give him a 10-9 round?
I got to give Draymond a 10-9 round. Because the ring is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say Dylan Brooks, keep your mouth shut, because clearly this is the fuel to his fire.
Yeah.
And they need him. Morant's out. Yeah. Steven Adams is getting stem cells shot into his knee. Give him the shot. It's stem cells right there in his knee. Jaren Jackson, one of the main tent poles of my fantasy team. God, do I love him. You know? Can Luke Kennard present that three-point outside shooting threat that only, I guess, Desmond Bain provides?
Luke, Luke Kennard can. I'll tell you that.
Okay, so this is what's happening right now for Memphis. So if Dylan Brooks has to keep yapping, then you keep yapping. You be you. But Draymond is absolutely right when it all comes down to it. What's the rivalry? You know, what's the rivalry? In that respect, who would be Golden State's rival?
You know, I thought
Milwaukee.
Who would it be?
Is it Boston?
Well, they played Cleveland. Like,
is it the Cavs?
4 years in a row in the finals. It felt like.
Yeah, but that's
a different
Cavs
team.
I mean, that's not even
the same squad.
So who in his mind would be considered their rival?
Well, they can't have one if he's going to just go revert back to the championship argument, because if that's the case, then they have no rival, right?
Spurs, but that team's over. They're all retired.
So they're all gone. Technically don't really have one.
But how many, just going to use the titles. How many NBA teams actually have a rival? It's like the old rivalries. It's Celtics, Lakers, Celtics,
I guess
Sixers.
I guess it's whichever team LeBron's on.
I guess, but they're not even good.
The Bucks have one.
But they didn't play Golden State in the finals.
Correct.
They beat Phoenix. I don't know.
Could it be Durant on Phoenix? I don't know if that exists. All I know is
that
I understand Draymond says a rivalry is if they win one and then we win one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But if Memphis and Golden State wind up playing each other in the first round of the playoffs, count me in. I'm there.
Rich, well, if the season starts today...
Is that what it would be?
They would. Memphis is the 3 seed by virtue of losing a tiebreaker to Sacramento.
Come on now.
And Golden State
has
the tiebreaker over the Timberwolves and Mavericks.
So, I think whoever has that series, ESPN, TNT, NBA TV, Stop the count. Stop the count.
And this is a series where home court is probably going to play an advantage.
I don't know. Yep. I just have to believe that the Warriors will clamp down when the playoffs start.
I mean, you would think so.
Dude, they have the same road record as the worst team in the NBA, the Detroit Pistons. 7-26.
I can't imagine that's the way it's going to be late April. Just can't. Because they are champions. But that's what Draymond's saying. Draymond's like, hey, I can't. Dylan Brooks is sitting there saying, okay, podcaster. And Draymond's response is like, I can't listen to the old Patrick Wall on. I can't hear you through my rings. Yeah. Sorry, my rings are in my ears. I can't hear you.
And that's a good retort.
But great sound bites, gents.
Appreciate
Keep
it.
Them coming. I like it.
Love it.
All right. What's More Likely is coming up as a stirring conclusion to our Friday show and our week.
Let's go.
Of waiting for Aaron Rodgers. And when we come back, though, my chat with one of the most famous actors on planet Earth. His name is Andy Serkis. He's in the new Luther film, and you know him from Lord of the Rings, Planet of the Apes, Black Panther, and so much more. Don't miss this chat with Andy Serkis when we come back on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hi, I'm Allie Raisman. I've been living with migraine for a while. As an athlete and gymnast, I was taught to just power through the pain. Now I use Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant to treat my migraine attacks. As soon as I feel a migraine attack, I take Ubrelvy, which provides me with quick relief. Once I get relief, I go on with my day. I'm partnering with Ubrelvy to share my migraine story.
Ubrelvy quickly stops migraine in its tracks within 2 hours without worrying where you are. Most people had quick pain relief within 2 hours. Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for prevention. It's available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Most common side effects are nausea and tiredness.
My hope is that by sharing my migraine story and the relief I get from Ubrelvy, it can help someone else.
Ask your doctor about Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn more at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
I'm sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by my friends at Grainger. It is so great to be back here on the Roku channel stream, sitting here at the desk with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This man has been in pretty much every huge movie that you've seen in the last 15, 20 years, and he's in the new Luther film. His name is Andy Serkis, and he was in London, and I Zoomed with him just yesterday, and here is the contents of our fun conversation.
Joining me now here on The Rich Eisen Show is one of the stars of Luther, The Fallen Son, available for streaming today only on Netflix. One of the highest grossing actors in the history of cinema. Joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show, Andy Serkis. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Yeah, good, thanks.
What a pleasure to meet you. What a pleasure to meet you in person or over Zoom. What an incredible movie this is. First of all, it's great to see Luther back in action. I'm just wondering how much of a fan you are of the television series and now being part of the film here, Andy.
I was a huge fan when the series came, when it started off, and always have been. And Idris is such a formidable actor, and in that role, it's his role. He's born to play that part, and he owns it so totally. So I was thrilled to come on board, for the movie version of it, which is, the great thing about the movie is that you don't actually need to have seen the TV series. It's a standalone piece in its own right, but it'll delight the fans who've grown up with the series too, so it works both ways.
It definitely touches all the touch points of the Luther television series, and then seeing you in it is just also, to use a word, a delight, although I don't know what that means about me as a psychological human being if I say your character delights Andy.
I that's a very good point, because I nearly didn't take this part because it was so dark. And I just thought, do I really want to spend time inside this person's head? Life's complicated enough as it is, but I literally wanted to have a shower and throw the script in the bin when I read it. It was that bad. And then I thought, this is actually a villain of our times, because although he is a monster, he's a psychopath and a killer, as you say, but part of the monster is the technological world that we have all completely handed over responsibility to, which is of course the internet, and the way that he uses that to manipulate and to surveil people and watch them in their own homes using their own devices. It's a very, very kind of why I actually went for the role in the end was because of the debate, I think, about technology and how we've become powerless to and sort of have given up almost responsibility there.
Well, studying your filmography would take my full day, Andy. So excuse me for just asking directly, is this the first time you've worked with Idris Elba, or have you worked with him before?
No, it's actually the first time, although our paths have crossed over the years and we've always wanted to work together. And, you know, I think we're both similar in the sense that, as well as being actors, we have other, you know, parts to strings to our bow. You know, I direct and produce, and so, and he produces, and he's a DJ, and you know, we have lots of. I think we really respect each other as sort of storytellers and communicators and of ideas and so on and so forth. So it was really great to finally actually act opposite each other.
Well, and so many folks here in America, and he got to meet him through the television show The Wire. And then we're absolutely stunned that he's actually not American and he's not from Baltimore, and that's how good he is. And now, you know, having a chance to meet you and see that you're not a psychopath or, you know, a golem or a primate, it's pretty neat to see. So how did you first get started in the business? How did you first get rolling, Andy?
I started actually at college doing visual arts, and I had no intention of becoming an actor. And then in the first year at college, you had to do a subsidiary kind of course. And so there was a very strong theater studies department, and I started making props and designing posters for the shows. And gradually over the course of the first year, I started acting in little roles in theater. And then by the end of the first year, I was playing a lead role, and I went, that's it. This is what I want to do. It was a big sort of epiphany. And then I started doing a lot in the early years. I just did tons and tons of theater, then started working in TV slowly, and then in film, and then, you know, come 2000s and the big canvas films kind of started opening up with Lord of the Rings.
And Lord of the Rings was your first big break, is that what you would say in that regard?
I mean, I've done a lot of British independent movies, but this, right, that was certainly kind of on the global sort of front. That was definitely a seismic shift, as it were.
I imagine so. So on this program, Andy Serkis here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sometimes I'll have to mention who's here because we also simulcast on the radio. We do a segment called Celebrity True or False, certainly with folks like yourself who have been so in so many incredible pop culture touchstone films and television shows to cover your entire landscape, where I ask you something's true or false based on something that we've read, if you don't mind playing along with me, Andy Serkis.
Okay, absolutely.
Celebrity true or false here with Andy Serkis.
Celebrity true or false.
You can't handle the truth.
Let's start with Lord of the Rings. You based the voice of Gollum, true or false, Andy Serkis, on the sound of your cats when they made a sound of coughing up fur balls. Is that true or false?
That is 100% true. Yeah, I was looking for something that was a physical action that also, you know, that would influence the vocal sound. And Diz, our cat, walked in and coughed up a fur ball in front of me. And I went, that is it. You know, that's the Gollum sound.
So when you pitched that, when you pitched your Gollum sound, did you have to explain where it came from? Or how did that sell that?
I didn't pitch it. I had to audition. And the thing is, a lot of people think, oh, that it was a kind of a voice. In fact, it was described to me first as a voice acting role, but it wasn't. And I remember crawling up onto the chair in front of the casting director and then starting to talk as Gollum and a very prototype version of it, you know. So it started off with the coughing up of the furball. So it was a, you know, and that became Gollum, 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 you know, and that. And so I was doing that, and they were kind of like, this is weird. This is so strange. And then Peter Jackson saw it and went, oh yeah, he's the guy.
Sold. That's what he said. Sold. And I guess I am mandated to ask, cause I talk to my dogs all the time. Did you ever talk to Diz the cat in that voice and communicate with your cat?
In that voice? No, I don't think I've ever done that. So okay. We have two cats. This was a long time ago. We have two new cats. So we do talk to our family, talks to them as if they're human beings. So we're a bit weird like that.
Very good. Is it true or false, Andy Serkis, that you own one of two prop rings used in Lord of the Rings? The other went to Elijah Wood, who played Frodo Baggins. Is that true or false?
That's 100%. Peter Jackson gave it to me on my birthday in 2003. When we were doing the final pickups for the Return of the King, and the very day he asked me to play King Kong, and he presented me with the ring from the Two Towers, and it was an amazing gift, amazing
so,
thing.
So, and where is it now? Is it?
Well, I can't tell you that.
Okay.
I mean, it's in, hidden in a cave.
Okay. No, I don't want to get in trouble. I guess then let me just ask a macro question before moving on. Is what is it like to play a performance capture actor. I cannot imagine the physical and the mental that's required for you to go and become another being that you can't really even see at the time. I mean, what is that endeavor like?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, a lot of people have asked me this question, and I have to explain it in terms of the acting process. When you become a character, you know, my way into a character, you're building a psychological profile, a physicality, a vocal, you know, the voice, you know, comes out of those, the understanding of who that person is and where that character carries his pain or tension or whatever. So when you play a motion capture or performance capture, as you rightly call it, because performance capture is the capturing of the entire performance, the facial expressions, the body, everything all at once, and audio, it's actually like wearing you're wearing a digital manifestation of the character. So you, the process of acting is no different to any other form of acting where I to be wearing a costume and makeup. You're still getting inside that character's head, mind, soul, body, etc. But it's just it's instead of putting on a costume and makeup, you're manifest as with digital costume and makeup. That's the easiest way to explain it. But so there's no specific. I mean, obviously, if you're playing an ape, then you have to research apes and you learn how to move and behave as an ape. But it's there's no, what I'm saying is it's not a particular type of acting as sure. Such. It's acting both sides, you know, like conventionally and then with a mocap suit on.
It's remarkable. It truly is. I've got a few more celebrity true or false concepts here for the great Andy Serkis here on the Rich Eisen Show. True or false, the Coldplay song Adventure of a Lifetime and the now 1.4 billion downloaded viewed on YouTube music video of Adventure of a Lifetime of Coldplay. The band members are all chimpanzees. And you are the performance capture consultant with the idea of the video born out of you, Andy Serkis, running into Chris Martin on an airplane. Is that true?
That's 100% true. I bumped into Chris. Now, Chris is also a very, very close friend of a director who I made a film with called Matt Whitecross directed me in a film called Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll about Ian Dury, the famous proto-punk, singer of the 1970s, and he had shot all of their videos. He grew up with Chris Martin and all of Coldplay at college. So Matt and he were very close. But I was sitting in the plane, and he tapped me on the back and he said, "Look, Andy, we're about to shoot our new video. We don't really know what we're doing, but we really fancy the idea of using performance capture." So I said, "Well, what are you thinking?" And he said, "We don't know." And so I said, "Well, look, come to the Imaginarium, which is our studios." Yes. And then we'll put some any number of different avatars up that you can play. You know, he looked at all these different creatures and beings that you can sort of off the peg, plug in and then sort of get into the suit and control. And he just went, "No, I want to be a chimpanzee." And then so this whole thing, and that so they it literally they came in the morning, decided they want to be chimpanzees, and we shot the whole thing. And Matt, my friend who directed Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, directed it. And I consulted a little bit about movement and so on. And then it was all done in one day. And then of course the animation process takes a while to complete, but it was just so kind of in the moment. And you arrive at the end of the day and we'd shot the whole thing. It was amazing.
So if he didn't tap you on the shoulder on an airplane, that video that's been again downloaded 1.4 billion times may not have been made. Is what you're saying?
I think that's probably true.
Oh my gosh! A couple more here for you. True or false, Andy Serkis? You cracked a rib on the first take of shooting your fight scene as Ulysses Claw with Chadwick Boseman in the Black Panther. Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
What happened?
It was just an unfortunate kind of moment where Ulysses Claw got up quickly, a little too quickly, and Chad was coming the other way too quickly with his knee, and it went straight in. And this was on the first take. It was all night shoots. I'd not long been off a plane. I'd flown in, and it was kind of one of the climactic scenes where he captures Ulysses Claw before he takes him for interrogation. And yeah, literally the first take, I felt it go, and it was like, "Oh no, I've got to do this all night and I've broken a rib." And I didn't say anything to anyone because I knew that we had to shoot this. So there was no way that we couldn't do it. And I had to just gently say to Chad, "Can you just make me take it back a bit?"
Take it back a bit. Yeah.
And we then proceeded to shoot it all night long. And I was like, by the end of it, I was so done. Oh my
God. Was it like shooting with him, Chadwick?
Oh, he's such a sad loss. He's such an incredible human being. Was, and you know, and was such a great leader on that film, and such a spiritual man, and kind of the energy that he created around himself, and therefore the way it affected the whole shoot was extraordinary. It was a real honor to work with him. You know, it's such a, I can't quite believe he's not around.
Really. Me too. Last one for you. True or false, Andy Serkis, all the prison factory machines in Andor were real, and you were actually assembling parts on those scenes in Andor. Is that true too?
100% true. The most amazing set. I mean, and it works so fantastically well. And all of the crews, all of the actors and supporting artists had to learn. I mean, there was a lot of rehearsal to make all that stuff come together and look as if we'd done it a billion times, you know? So it's really thrilling when you get to walk onto a real set that functions and, you know, it's tangible. Everything's tangible. And it's rather than it being a volume or, you know, or green screen, it really affects you. And those sets really made you feel desensitized as well, with, you know, walking around on bare feet on metal plates all day long and those paper suits. It really did remove your identity. It was so weird what it did to you. You know,
I bet. So, and the floors were not really electrified then, right, Andy?
That's a flat one. They did it as a...
We stop with that. And so the last we saw of your characters, you turn to Andor and say, I can't swim, as you were all diving to safety. Spoiler alert. Does that mean maybe you survive the fall and the swim, Andy? I mean, is that possible for a season two? What do we think here?
I always say never say never, quite frankly. So who you know, and I really don't know what's going to happen, whether or not he'll return, But I like it when they leave it open like that.
I do, and I'd love
to. It's always a possibility.
Well, I would love that. I would truly love that. And I've enjoyed this chat as well. You're awesome in this film of Luther. Again, it's called Luther, the Falling Sun, available for streaming today on Netflix. You're just awesome in everything that you do. This has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. Man. And I know I've kept you a long time, but we're also a sports show. Are you a sport fan in any way, shape?
Yeah, yeah.
Which
football support Arsenal, and we're going to win the league. So, you know.
Okay, so Arsenal's your team.
Oh, yeah. And my sons as well. They're massive, massive Arsenal fans. Yeah.
Wonderful. What a pleasure to meet you, Andy Serkis. Thanks again for your time. Congratulations on Luther being as awesome and you being awesome in it. I hope we get to do this in person next time. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, look forward to it, Richard. Take care.
That's Andy Serkis. Follow him at Andy Serkis on Twitter and Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Fun chat right there. Fun chat. I mean, the guy's been in absolutely...
done it all.
Everything.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We've got, when we come back, phone calls. We have also what's more likely before we get into the weekend and Dolphins quarterback news. OMG. That's coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Take you to the weekend.
Hey, we outside.
Sauce Gardner making a video in his backyard last night with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall burning the cheese head that he strolled around in victory in Lambeau Field as a sacrifice to Aaron Rodgers.
we're all bearing
all axes, you know, to grind and whatever, bearing hatchets.
Bearing cheese.
I don't know. Why haven't we heard anything yet?
Your entire
why have we not heard anything
process
yet?
On this process on this
of exchange. Course why haven't we heard anything yet?
I don't know, man.
What's happening?
It's Friday.
It's gonna happen over the weekend. Is it gonna happen on Monday, Tuesday? What's going on?
I would imagine it happens over the weekend.
Why?
Next 48
because
hours.
Because the negotiation period starts on Monday.
Mm-hmm. So
Aaron needs to make a decision so the Packers can figure out what they're going to do in free agency so the Jets can get their ducks lined in a row. What if suddenly Odell's coming?
Ah,
what if suddenly
Odell to the
D-Hop
Jets
might be coming? That's
oh my
what I'm
God.
Saying.
Oh, my God.
Sauce
Stop
is FaceTiming Odell. I just
be
saw
quiet
on
with
Twitter.
That nonsense.
You
be
don't
quiet.
Know.
I just saw it.
Be quiet. What did you just see?
Sauce FaceTiming Odell.
Oh, really?
Sauce is
I love
work.
It. Yes, Sauce. Yes, Sauce.
Sauce is putting in work.
Odell's
at the barber?
By the way, hold on a second. Doesn't matter where he is.
Looks like he's at the barber.
You know what he's doing? You know where he is? Doesn't matter where he is. He's on a FaceTime with Sauce Gardner. Let me express something to you about Sauce Gardner.
Sauce.
I did not think when I fell completely head over heels for him at first sight at the combine.
You really were.
Last year.
That was your
when I came back from Indianapolis in 2022, I said, I know who I want for the Jets. And I said, I'll do a segment on it. You probably thought somebody else other than Sauce Gardner.
I didn't know.
Yeah. I'm like, in. I spoke it into existence, and I then watched what he did in year one. That was my best expectation.
Yeah, first team all pro? Yeah,
I did not see first team all pro coming. I thought maybe Pro Bowl if we're lucky, what have you. But what I didn't see coming would be in between year one and year two that Sauce Gardner would already have the ability to recruit on behalf of the New York Jets and be viewed by the people he's recruiting as a legit reach out. A legit reach out on behalf of the Jets. Hey, come here. You come here. You Aaron Rodgers, you come here. You Odell Beckham, you come here, which is brash. But do you think Aaron Rodgers would be like, this kid? Do you think Odell was like, who? This kid, really? Nuh-uh. He has already achieved the status of
one name.
I get it. And plus, he gets it.
One name. He's Sauce.
He's Sauce.
That's it.
Everyone knows Sauce.
He's Sauce. And he's legit. He's a legit reach out as a recruiter for the Jets. Oh, man. Thank you, Sauce. You're the man. You keep FaceTiming and burning cheese heads in your backyard.
Hey, let me ask you this. You did
That's
a little.
My man right there.
You got with Sauce during the combine, right?
I did.
Did you swap numbers?
No. No, because he was getting out, and I was, man, I don't have time to be swapping too many numbers at the combine.
Yeah, you're kind of busy, but I so figured you had
commercial
your man
breaks.
Sauce
we're going.
We can't FaceTime Sauce.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
Chris.
Right
you
now?
Knew where I was going with it.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, I don't have it. I should be able to get it.
You knew where I was going, Chris.
I wonder if I
By the way, sauce. You're striking out. I haven't gotten a text back from Robert Saleh or Joe
out.
Namath.
You didn't FaceTime.
I shouldn't listen to you.
That's false.
Monster.com can help you slam dunk the job hunt and make your next career move in basketball and life. There's the regular season, and then there's, as you know, the upcoming playoffs. Monster.com, though, scoring your next job, that's your playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. And if you're looking to change positions and join a new team, Monster can help. Millions of job offerings, great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts on Monster.com, where when you upload your resume, mm-hmm. You can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. And Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers so they know how to match you to the job fits that fit you most. And when you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season's over. We all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. So get off the bench, go to Monster.com, and win your job hunt. Monster.com.
Monster.
Fifth year option for Tua Tagovailoa is about to be picked up by the Miami Dolphins, according to Mike Garofalo, my colleague from the NFL Media Group. $23.2 million for the 2024 season. That, as we all know, is a bargain for somebody that can take your team to the playoffs.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
It looks like $23.2 million of money. That looks like money to me. Looks
I like Tua,
money.
Man.
Is he going to be healthy?
That's the question.
He takes one more hit.
Ultimate
and what?
Question.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I know. Let's hope so.
Because we're all Tua fans, right?
Every single sign that they're we're awesome. Looking, we're just looking for any sign from Miami that they don't covet him anymore. And every single thing you hear out of Mike McDaniel's mouth and now from this report shows you they like him. They like him a lot. But boy, do we need to see him take a hit, get up, and play a full 17-game season. And if there's something that happens in May or June, then we'll revisit the issue. And obviously, if it's before the franchise tag period is up, then Lamar can potentially go there after the draft. But Miami's not thinking that. They're like full steam ahead. Free agency's being hit. Draft is coming. Tua's our guy. That's it. So,
would you trade two number ones after the draft? Two number ones and Tua for Lamar Jackson?
What do you mean?
If you're Miami, you pick up the option to secure the number. No, you trade.
Baltimore wouldn't take it back.
Baltimore wouldn't take Tua back with two number ones?
I don't think so. What, just to get through the season? I guess, because if it's after the draft, I don't know. As you know, Baltimore could just match an offer. And the offer is just an offer sheet contractually, and it's just two number ones. Now, they could call him up and say, let's do another deal.
Right.
Want to throw Tua in on top of it?
Yeah.
To say, we'll give you Tua, you just don't match.
Right. We'll give you Tua, here's the two number ones. Boom, boom. Let's swap quarterbacks.
Hmm. You heard what MJD said.
MJD would do it yesterday.
He would do it yesterday. With any team.
With any, yeah. Boom.
All right, it's time for the Friday staple. What's more likely, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you got? Let's gallop through this
thing. All right, let's get through it. Talk a lot about Daniel Jones. Talk a lot about the Jets this week, guys. Let's assume, for your sake and Jets fans everywhere, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets.
Yeah.
Who's more likely to have more wins in 2023, Giants or Jets?
Rodgers and the Jets. Get out of here with that. And I know that the Jets' schedule is really tough. Really tough. But Rodgers with this Jets team, with Garrett Wilson and a healthy Breece Hall and a healthy offensive line, and if they don't get too hurt by Green Bay in terms of draft compensation, the Jets will have their one this year and hopefully have their two and have their cake and eat it as well. So I'll take the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
No hesitation.
Put a pin in that. What else, Chris?
I agree with you on that, Rich.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
All right, with all the rumored moves of quarterbacks, maybe Lamar goes to Washington. Maybe Aaron Rodgers does go to the Jets.
That makes so much sense.
What's more likely to be the best quarterback division in 2023? AFC West, AFC East, NFC East.
I'll still go AFC West. You know the three of them that'll be in there. You know that. You know that. I don't know who the AFC East is going to be just yet. And the NFC East, I don't know who, like right now, if the floor is Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Herbert.
Everyone's chasing him.
I got it.
But what if it's Rodgers, Brady, and Josh Allen?
Rodgers, Brady, and Josh Allen would trump it.
You know what I mean?
It would trump that.
Or Hurts, Lamar, and Dak.
That would trump it, I would think.
I don't know.
But would Hurts, Lamar, and Dak trump Rodgers, Allen, and Brady?
Hey, I don't know. That's pretty good.
Huh?
By the way,
I think you better put some respect on Pickett, Watson, and Burrow, though, is all I'm saying.
We need Brady to come back. I mean, let's just be honest.
It's just more fun.
Tom, just leave out a bowl of tender vittles for the kid, right? You know?
Rich, cat.
As if it was that simple.
Rich, have you ever had a cat? They're self-sufficient, man.
I have two cats.
Cats don't even want to be bothered.
I'm more of a dog person, but there you go. That is a beautiful looking kitty. What else you got over there, Chris?
NFC West team to get back to the playoffs after a rough 2022. Rams or Cardinals?
Rams.
Yeah.
Cardinals are going to be in a bad spot, man. Jonathan Gannon is going to be taking shots from a lot of places.
Lombo's saying the Rams are shopping Matthew Stafford.
Get out of here. I know what Lombo might be saying, and it may be true, but I don't think they're shopping Stafford. You heard yesterday Les Snead say that he's a pillar around here.
It's lying season.
I know. I get it. I think the Rams are – nobody's talking about them. We had a Rams announcer here, and they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
One question.
No, because I think more nationally of interest is Rodgers and Lamar Jackson right now. But I didn't stutter. Oh, my God. I think the Cardinals have a very challenging season ahead of them. And Jonathan Gannon is going to, probably knows that going in. But I think the Rams can be very good this year. Very good.
Interesting.
What else?
13-team win from last year. Okay. Very specific. To take a step back in 2023, Bills or Niners? This is what time of year.
I'll go 49ers at this point in time. Brock Purdy had surgery today. He won't be able to throw for another 3 months. And as much as I love Trey Lance, I mean, in the quarterback-driven league, we're going to go with Trey Lance over Josh Allen? How's that? Just for off the top of my head, my response.
AFC, tough AFC.
How about if Josh Allen gets Derrick Henry? How do we feel about it now?
Okay, well, a little different maybe.
Yikes.
Not saying that's not possible.
Are you reporting?
How's that for word salad? I'm not reporting a damn thing.
Not this week.
I'm
just done with this week's report.
I'm moving on from that.
All right, how about this one? This one's hot.
Okay.
This one's hot. Future Hall of Fame coach on the bigger hot seat going into next year. Mike Tomlin or Bill Belichick?
Neither. So stupid.
Not
and
an answer.
Dumb.
Gotta choose one.
Stupid and dumb.
No, gotta choose one.
Dumb and stupid.
Gotta choose
dumb
one.
Dumb and dumber.
Nope. Choose one.
Dumb and dumber. Richie. I'll go Belichick.
He's been on my hot seat for
years. I understand. That's why. Tomlin hot seat. Get out of here, man.
Rich,
dumb and dumber.
Maybe he should be worried, though, because Brotman obviously had some power. He wanted Boeheim out. Gone.
Out.
He wanted...
The Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. Adam called out the Bulls. Bulls beat the Nuggets.
Maybe Brockman has some type of weird power.
Seen this week, this Rich Eisen Show's got... We got a megaphone.
All right, last one. Some hoops real quick. Which of TJ's teams make a deeper playoff run? Sixers or Clippers?
Sixers.
Well, when you say deeper, when they meet in the finals, then how does that work?
Well, then whoever's got the parade.
That
Sixers. I believe in Doc. I'm with the Sixers. Wow. Although I love Ty Lue, man.
Yeah.
You got two good teams to root for.
I do.
But there's only one that has a new place with over 1,000
toilets.
There you go.
1,106.
There you go.
That's so
but who's counting?
Nobody.
Great. What's more likely, everybody?
That's so
all right. Thank you, today's guests, Andy Serkis.
Yeah, that was great, man.
And Mike Florio and MJD for being here in studio. Next we meet, the Hell Going On month is up and running. Thank you for taking in this show right here on the Roku channel, where we'll wrap things up in a second. But to our radio audience, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.